listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Lights, camera, pause and applause for our special guest, Melia Kaplan, who truly champions the needs for all animals, from shelter dogs and feral cats to even giant elephants in zoos. Melia is the founder and director of Voice for the Animal Foundation, a group based in a little town called Los Angeles. Welcome to the show, Melia.
Thank you, Arden, so much. Yes, it's a little town.
Yeah, I've heard. I've had to do a map quest on it. I kind of drive by it, you know. We're going to chat with Melia about some of her animal benefiting efforts and how you can do your part for our friends with fur, wings, and gills right after we take this commercial break. So sit and stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
From Paris, New York, and around the globe, get ready for the hip, the trendy, the uber cool, where pets rule. If you've got a passion for pet fashion and a flair for animal wear, this is the ultimate place to take a peek at what's chic in the world of designer pet fashion and cool new pet products. On the Pet Set, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our guest today is Melia Kaplan, founder and director of the Voice for the Animals Foundation. It's a nonprofit group based in L.A., or if you really want to be precise, Santa Monica. Welcome, Melia, to the show.
Thank you, Arden.
So you got some amazing things cooking in the month of March for your group, and I thought we'd get right to it so people that are in the area or are planning to go this way or just have some need to help pets out can know what's going on March 5th in Hollywood.
Yes, on March 5th at the Comedy Store, we're having our annual Stand Up for Animals. And this year, we are very honored that Lily Tomlin will be headlining. And
awesome.
We have, oh, she's amazing. And Orny Adams and Carol Leifer will also be performing. Peter Berman is our MC. And we will be honoring several people during the show. One is Councilman Tony Cardenas, who has done amazing work on City Council for the Animals. David Castleman, Lily Tomlin. We'll be honoring several people. We'll have an amazing silent auction, a live auction, lots of food, lots of fun, and everybody is invited. It's a big party.
All right, so how can we get tickets and find out about it?
Well, they can go right to our website, www.vftafoundation.org, and it's on the home page.
And that stands for Voice for the Animals, which is where the F is. Because if you had to type voiceforthe animal foundation.org, I think my hand would have to take a rest. So that's why it's vftafoundation.org. There's a 310-574-3730 is the phone number.
That's the phone number for tickets.
Okay, so that is awesome. I'm glad you're doing it. I think that's going to be like the big show before some silly Oscars or something coming up in that, you know, coming up afterwards, right?
Yeah, this is going to be a really fun show. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to learn a lot. And there's going to be a lot of wonderful, wonderful people there to meet. So a lot of good food, a lot of good prizes, and everybody's going to have a ball.
You had me at food. Yes, you had me at food. Maybe next year I'll come. I'll come popping by and see what you're all up to. I'm sorry. I'll be actually in D.C. when this is all going on, doing some other venues for pets. But I do wish you a lot of luck and success for
this. Thank you, Martin. Thank you.
Well, people want to know who the heck is Melia Kaplan. First of all, how'd you get a name like Melia? That's awesome. I love it.
I'm Greek, and that was my grandfather's name.
Really?
Yes. So that's how it was given to me.
I like it. I like it
Thank
a lot.
Thank you.
Well, my favorite food is gyros, not gyro. Gyros,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, gyros. That's right. And gyros in Greek, of course, gyro means circle. It means to go round. And that's what a gyro is. Yeah.
That's why my belly is round, because I like my gyros. the plot has been solved. No, my favorite restaurant on the whole planet, I grew up in Chicago, is the Parthenon in Greektown. And every time I'm ever there, I go very often, and I love the flaming saganaki and the ouzo and you name it. I think my taste buds are Greek. Otherwise,
it sounds like it.
I love Greek food. But let's get back to, you know, you do a lot of things, but I was sniffing around your bio, and you're not afraid to champion the cause of pets and animals. And I was hoping you could bring us up to speed on some of the things that you did that led you before becoming the voice for the Animal Foundation.
Well, actually, it's very funny. Before I became an animal advocate, I actually was a professional dancer, and then I became a director of both theater and film in Europe. So my background is as a performer and a producer-director, and I became interested in championing the plight of animals because of what I saw both in Europe and here. When I moved to Venice, I saw animals all over the streets. And I thought, I can't live like this. I can't do this. So, of course, I started pulling them all into my house until at one point I had 17 cats and 10 dogs. And I lived in a one-bedroom, and I thought, well, that's not going to work either. So I said, well, I better open an organization so I can do this on another scale and help animals in a larger way.
It's like a Brady Bunch with fur.
That's what it was. And
well,
they all lived out their lives with me.
One of the dog you have now is from Greece, right?
He is. He's sitting here looking at me. His name is Taikis. It's short for Dimitraikis, which is a Greek name. And we work in Greece. Voice of the Animals is working in Greece. And we were in the northern part of Greece on the border in 2007. And I heard the scream of a puppy. Everybody knows what a puppy in distress sounds like. And I ran out to the street, and there were a bunch of kids abusing a very tiny 6-pound black puppy. And I grabbed the dog and cussed the kids out in Greek. And
girl!
There I am, 10,000 miles away from Los Angeles with a puppy. So I called all my rescue friends in Greece. They said, no, we're too crowded. Take them back to the United States. I said, what? So I called the American Embassy, and they said, sure, get him a passport, and you can take him back to the United States. So I did. So he's got a passport.
Wait, slow down here. A passport, or is that a pawport? I mean, come on, how do you get a dog's passport? How do you do that?
Well, we went to the nearest largest city, which is called Thessaloniki, Salonika in English, and went to the passport division. And they told us we had to find a vet to get him inoculations and to get a microchip in him, get him dewormed. So we ran over to a vet, and we did that, and came back, took a picture. They took a little picture of him, and they got him a passport. And that way I could get him on the plane, which I did.
Wow.
And he flew 36 hours. We had several plane changes back to Los Angeles with me.
And how old is he now, and how big is he?
He's a year and a half, and he's about 75 pounds.
I bet those kids wouldn't be messing with him now.
No, they wouldn't. And what happened is after I rescued him, I saw that he had his mothers and brothers, and there were two other dogs with puppies and litters. And I said, oh, God, I can't go back to the United States and leave these dogs here. So we began networking and working with some of the fabulous rescuers in the north of Greece, unbelievable, just so dedicated. And we took those dogs out of the village in where I found Taikis, and we got those spayed, neutered, and vaccinated, microchipped, and they were driven into Germany to find homes. So it was a real win-win situation.
So these are bilingual dogs now.
These are bilingual dogs. He loves, Tykes actually loves Greek music. It's very interesting.
Does he start going,
he starts dancing. He's very funny. But that was that's some of the things that we're doing in Greece. We're working with the government there. We're working with different rescuers there to try to alleviate the pet overpopulation problem, educate, spay, neuter. A lot of the things, of course, that are just as vital here are vital there.
You know, it's neat that you you live in two worlds, and you seem to be able to bridge that quite well. I'm wondering, is there something for our listeners? As I was telling you before you got on the show, I gave a talk to a bunch of Chinese veterinarians recently at a local college, and it was very Epcot-like moment for me, you know, to be able to speak to them about what life is like in America for pets, but to hear from them, too. So if there's some things you can share about, maybe things that we wouldn't realize about what life is like for dogs and cats in Greece. And
well, there's sort of an array of things there. There's a lot of cats and dogs on the street. In Athens, they have finally started spaying and neutering the dogs, not the cats, unfortunately. But then they release them back on the street, and they set up feeding stations. So the dogs in Athens are well-fed. They're not starving. But again, they don't have homes. They have tags because it shows that they've been spayed and neutered by the government. The cats, because of the archaeological sites, the cats are fed and jump into the archaeological sites, which, of course, people can't go into, so in a sense, they're protected. But there's still a lot of education to be done. There's a lot of cruelty in Greece towards animals, unfortunately, in different of the outlying areas, which, of course, happens in, you know, most countries because they don't understand animals. The other thing, other than the cat and dog issue, is Greece, unfortunately, is the largest hunting country in all of Europe.
Oh, I didn't
that's
know.
Very, oh, yes, they are very disturbing, very, very disturbing. And it's odd because actually the Orthodox Church does not condone hunting. And there's a lot of hunting there, which is not good. But it's, you know, like everything, it's a slow process of education. And I must say I am absolutely honored to be working with some fine, amazing, intelligent, dedicated animal advocates in Athens and in Thessaloniki. Just amazing people who are absolutely on the front lines dealing with circuses. There are really no zoos in Greece, thank goodness. But dealing with the circuses that come in from Italy, dealing with the hunting issues, dealing with the cat and dog, both the feral cat and the domestic cat issue and the domestic dog issue. So there are some amazing people there who are doing amazing work.
Now, do you have family still there in Greece?
Yes, I do. I do.
So this is nice for you to be able to go. Were you born in Greece?
No, I was born here. I was born here, but I lived back and forth.
Well, I know you can swear in Greek, but I'm assuming you can also communicate pretty well in Greek, right?
Yes.
No, naughty words in Greek. Come on, my producer.
No. Nope. Just in case for any of your Greek listeners, I'm not saying anything in Greek.
Yeah, this is PG. Pets grand. Rated. We're right here. But you know, you strike me as someone that is, I wish we had, we could sprinkle some of you and others because you have such a can-do attitude. What, do you drink a lot of coffee in the day or what is it that you have this energy and this ability to do more than just talk about doing something? You actually do something.
Well, I actually don't drink coffee. I don't eat sugar. I've been a vegan for 20 years and I do yoga every day for 2 hours and I meditate. Yeah.
Do you do the downward facing dog?
I did today, and I do every day, absolutely. And I find that gives me the energy. And also, I feel for me, and again, I can't tell other people how to run their lives, but for me personally, it makes me feel good to wake up in the morning knowing I'm making a difference. Yeah. And I really feel that if, you know, everybody just did something that moves their heart. It doesn't have to be animals. It can be trees. It can be older people. It can be flowers. It can be handicapped. It can be anything. Just something to give back. And I feel that just would make every one of us feel so good. And
I
it makes you feel good.
Well, you know, on your website for voicefortheanimals.org, it's VFTAfoundation.org, I like the fact that when you're asking for people if they want to help or something, look, if you want to shuttle pets from one place to another, do you want to take photos, do you want to walk dogs, you know, you give people a lot of options so people don't feel like, oh, I have to come and clean cages only, or I have to, you know, hang out in a cat colony together. There seems to be some things that do involve, you know, one-on-one connection with pets and others that are more indirect giving, right?
Absolutely. They can, I mean, there's a million things that people can do to help animals. And they can invent their own things to help animals. So we don't limit anybody. Anybody who's interested, come on and help.
Well, that sounds great. We're speaking with Melia Kaplan. She is the founder and director of Voice for the Animal Foundation. It's based in the LA area. And as we have been hearing, she literally goes global. So we're going to talk more with her right after we take this commercial break. So sit and stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. All Behave will be right back.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Muttropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Join us each week for Pets in the City with your host, Diane West. Celebrity pet sightings, hot events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So take a bite out of the Big Apple with Pets in the City every week on demand only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Dean Koontz, and you're listening to Oh Behave with Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio.
Oh Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now, back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the Oh Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I am delighted to have Melia Kaplan on, and I can't wait till we have some, you know, Ouzo together or something. If you're not going to have the Gyros, maybe we can do Ouzo. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Or the flaming Saganaki cheese.
Yeah, there's a lot of delicious things in Greek.
Oh, I like the grape leaves too.
Yes, they're fantastic.
So what are some of the challenges that you have faced? Let's share a little success stories.
Mm-hmm.
I know
sure.
We talked a little bit about your dog that you got mm-hmm. from the streets of northern Greece. Mm-hmm. You have three cats too, right?
Yeah, that's Malthy, Kukuli, and Zacharia. They're all Greek, two Greek names and one Malthy. they're 19 years old, all three of them. And
I got
them. Right. Yeah.
Are they from the same litter?
No, they're not.
Okay.
They were taken from the streets of Venice, which is where we are. We're both in Venice and Santa Monica. And they were about to be used for pit bull bait. They were kittens. That was something that I have dedicated myself many years to, and that is to stopping dogfighting. I learned about 20 years ago that there was dogfighting in my area in Venice, I just said, that's it. I'm not going to live in this area knowing that. So I am extremely fortunate to have made some excellent friends in the Los Angeles Police Department. And I just have to put in a plug for the LAPD. There are some of the most compassionate, amazing police officers in the Los Angeles Police Department that I have. They're just amazing human beings. And I began to work with them and with a city attorney and with some other people in the community and in government in Los Angeles. And together we formed what is today known as the Animal Cruelty Task Force, which is under the auspices of the Los Angeles Police Department. And we are very proud to say that the LAPD goes out and they arrest people and they write them up for any kind of animal abuse. Their first case was a man who was being extremely abusive to his girlfriend and also to her dog, which I won't go into details. But it's called the cycle of violence, and there is absolutely a connection. They have since then, that was, I guess, 3-4 years ago that it became an actual task force past city council due to wonderful, wonderful, amazing Councilman Tony Cardenas. And it is now up and running, and every day these wonderful people go out and help animals. They bust people who are doing cockfighting, dog fighting, animal abuse, any kind of anything that would harm animals. And often the police officers themselves adopt the dogs or cats. It really is beautiful. It's really, and the wonderful thing is, I think this is the only task force in the country that actually has, it's a four-part task force. You have the police officers who are primary response, who go out, and they're the first ones because they do have the guns and the arresting powers. Then you've got Los Angeles Animal Services, who takes the animal, houses the animal, provides veterinary care. And then you have the city attorney's office, who are the prosecutors, who prosecute the misdemeanors, and you have the district attorney's office, who prosecute the felonies, and all of them work together. And it's really a very, very amazing coming together of four major parts of the Los Angeles City government, all working for the animals.
You seem to have taken a bite out of the bureaucracy and get with your can-do attitude, and I think if I ever wanted anything done, I think I'm going to call you. I think
well,
you know
I'll
how
tell you
to
some
get
more, I'll tell you some more success stories.
Sure. I'm all ears.
Okay. So after we did that, actually, we have a program called the Working Cats Program.
Okay.
And these are feral cats. So we put feral cats to work. Because as you know, feral cats, when they're taken into the shelter, are usually killed because they're unadoptable. Mm-hmm. And that always bothered me because I do believe that the universe makes no mistakes, that there's a place for everybody and every being in our community. So I thought to myself, there must be a place for feral cats. Well, one day when I was down at the big flower mart downtown Los Angeles where they sell, they're the wholesalers, I noticed that there was a guy sneezing and coughing, and I said, well, what's wrong? He said, oh, there's so many rats here, and every week they spray poison. And I thought, well, that's crazy. What about cats? So I went to the owner of the flower mart, and I said, you know, you're wasting money. You're putting toxins into the environment, into the water table. You're poisoning your own workers as well as your clients. What about if I bring in some feral cats? Well, he looked at me like I was out of my mind. I said, okay, I know it's a weird concept, but let's make a deal. Since it's a city block of flowers that you have here, I'll bring in 5 feral cats. Give me 3 months. If you don't see a significant decline in your rodent population, I'll take them out. That was 10 years ago, and there are no rodents there.
You know what? All I can say is move over, Annette Funicello. You are the mouseketeer. My gosh, what a brilliant idea.
So from there, I then got a call from one of the police stations who said that they wanted feral cats because they had a horrible problem with rodents at their police station. And I went in and I met the commanding officer, who he and I became quite good friends, Commander Albanese, very far-sighted, compassionate, amazing man, and we put cats into that police station, and then we started putting them into the other police stations. We got calls from businesses who wanted feral cats. So we have been able to expand this program and have people understand that this is a much safer, easier, more compassionate way to deal with rodents than extermination.
Right, and you're keeping the environment clean and green.
That's right.
And
sure.
Just don't tell the kitties they're having to work, because you know how cats are.
Well, you know, here's the funny thing. Again, when I first started the program, I wasn't sure how it all would flush out. I just had an instinct that it would work. The deal that we make with anybody who takes working cats is they have to feed them and provide fresh food and water on a daily basis, which they all do with you know, very happily, because it costs less than, you know, paying for extermination. But the interesting thing is we've never seen one dead rodent. What happens is the rodents leave because the smell of the cats, who are top-line predators, the rodents absolutely scurry. So there's no gross cleanup of any kind of body parts.
I think that's a great idea. Man, I want to have, like, that kind of bully spray on me sometimes.
And everybody loves the cats. And sort of the side note of this is there were people in these various places, mostly the Flower Mart, who really didn't have a good relationship with cats. No respect for cats. They're mostly dog people. Well, they have a new respect for cats.
Well,
and
see there.
It changed their relationship to cats, which I was very happy about.
Well, having two cats from the street myself and being the editor of Catnip Magazine, I think you are being meowbalous. What can I say?
Oh, thank you.
So that's a great story. Now, let's move on beyond companion animals, though. You also champion the causes of other animals. And I want to get this too political, but there was a sweet elephant by the name of Billy, an Asian elephant. Tell us what's going on there.
I started working on the issue of the elephants in the LA Zoo in 1996 when I learned of the amount of elephants who've died at the LA Zoo, and it was horrific. And I started with a group of school children because I also do humane education in schools, and we started that in 96, going to the commission, going to the council, educating them about how the spatial issue was really a horrible detriment to the elephants. In 2006, City Council passed a $42 million quote-unquote expansion of the elephant exhibit, which was no expansion at all. It is a ruse. It's a facade. A lot of the council people were not educated. Recently, I guess even a little before then, I made a film called Elephants and Man, which if anybody wants a copy, I will mail them out a free copy. Just go to our website and email me. It is about the history of elephants in captivity and the history of elephants in zoos, and the history of elephants at the LA Zoo.
You're like 60 minutes, aren't you?
It's quite a moving and educational experience to see this film, because you see the whole perspective of what our species has done to elephants. Councilman Tony Cardenas decided that he would put forward a motion last October, asking for the elephant exhibit at the LA Zoo to be closed, based both on humane issues, because it is absolutely cruel to keep these elephants in these confines, and it is the confines that is the result of their fatalities, and economic.
Do they shut down, Melia, sort of like animals in shelters when they've been there a long time? Is that what's happening to them, or what? Their failure to
do, thrive? But it's actually even worse. And I have to defer to somebody, to a vet more knowledgeable than I, in terms of the physical implications of keeping animals in shelters. But in terms of the physical implications of keeping elephants in these small pens, they end up developing foot problems, arthritis, and which ultimately kills them. And many, 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 many elephants have died at the LA Zoo. 15 just since 1975.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Yes. In fact, if anybody wants to learn more about this particular issue, please go to our website, helpbilly.org.
Helpbilly.org. Okay.
Yes. Helpbilly.org shows all of the whole issue, the background. It also shows all the celebrities who, bless their hearts, have jumped in. Cher, Goldie Hawn, Lily Tomlin, Bob Barker, enormous amounts of celebrities have jumped in to try to persuade the city council that this was the wrong thing to do. Unfortunately, only 4 members of the city council listened. 11 members of the city council caved in to the dark side. That's all I can call it.
Okay.
But we're not done. We are not done. I do not give up. I, under no circumstances do I quit until Billy is sent to the sanctuary. There was another elephant at the LA Zoo named Ruby, and she was sent to the POM sanctuary. She, oh my goodness, Arden, if you could see her, she is so happy. She's with 4 other elephants, and all day long they swim and they snorkel and they roam through the woods on 2,300 acres and they bathe and they do jacuzzis and they're having a great time. And here's
I heard that they like Greek dancing too.
They love Greek dancing and they do it very well, by the way.
I like the fact that you are someone that does not give up, and I do want people to go check out the helpbilly.org site to be educated. And you can get your film on elephants, you said, at VFTA?
VFTAfoundation.org. They can just email us, and we will send them a copy of the film for free.
Oh, I think that's really, really wonderful. What's on the horizon next? We know this one event is March 5th, but this show once it's posted, anyone can listen at any time. So is there anything coming up this summer or fall that you can give a shout out at?
We don't. In terms of events, we're still working on a couple, and people can keep checking our website for updates. And in terms of other things that we're doing, we're going to be still working on trying to get Billy out of the LA Zoo. We're going to be expanding our feral cat working cat program and several of our others. Our humane education program is expanding. We're going to be bringing our humane education, it's called Violence Prevention Through Humane Education, to at-risk kids in the inner city.
Oh, bravo, bravo. I'm glad you're doing that because we need to educate the next generation,
yes,
too.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And anybody want to volunteer who's in the L.A. area, we welcome you.
Well, or if they just happen to be in Greece, too. I mean,
or
my
if
God,
you happen to be in Greece, call us, too.
And speaking of that, I wanted to tell everybody I'm so fortunate and blessed to have Melia Kaplan on our show today. She is the director and founder of Voice for the Animals. It's based in L.A., but as you've been listening, the lady gets around all over the globe, just like this radio show does. Hey, we've got listeners as far away as Singapore now, Melia. Did you know that?
That's great. That is
wonderful. So you're going to tell all your friends, right? It's because it's free. They just go on the PetLifeRadio.com or iTunes or all those other ways of getting shows. And we hope that we can spread the word about Billy on your behalf and get people to come to your events and maybe get you some more volunteers.
That would be wonderful. We love it. The more people participate, the more animals are saved.
That's right. Well, I really like your attitude, and you're sort of like what the new administration is happening now. It seems like people are just getting together, and I really do hope, because we're all on this planet, like you said, together, and you know, everyone and everything has a place on this planet.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
All right. Well, thank you. Melia Kaplan has been our guest. I also want to take the time to thank my cool producer, Mark Winter. He tolerates me every episode and makes things sound great. If you get a chance, take our listener survey. It's fun and easy. And there's lots of other things to snoop around. My other friends have different shows on Pet Life Radio. We've got everything for iguanas to bird lovers to people that are into paranormal pets. We have it all on Pet Life Radio. I also want you to know that we're giving away, if you have one of your mystery mutt dogs, that's what I call it. I have a dog, Cleo, that I got from the streets that I thought for sure was a Maltese Bichon Metapoodle mix and a terrier. And it turns out when the DNA test was done, Cleo is a miniature poodle basset hound. Just totally blew my mind. But we're giving away these little DNA kits, if you like. They're from Wisdom Panel MX. Easy. Just email arden@ardenmore.com. And the first few that do it, we're going to send you the kit, and we're going to find out what your pet's true identity is. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words for all you 2-, 3-, and 4-leggers out there. Oh, behave!
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Oh Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. Oh Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.